Are you ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Thanks for tuning in to the Niche Website Builders Show. In this episode, Adam and I talk about the 8 things to look for when buying an expired domain. We cover topics such as domain history, backlink profiles, key metrics, and more. If you subscribe to any of our channels, you'll know that we've been finding great success in building niche websites on expired domains. At Niche Website Builders, we also offer a domain sourcing service. And if you're interested in being the first to know about when we have new expired domains available, you can sign up to our mailing list at nichewebsite.builders/expired. If you're listening to the podcast version of this show, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, because this will allow us to grow our audience and continue to create more shows just like this. If you're watching on the YouTube channel version, first of all, apologies for the jumpy video quality. We had a technical issue in the first few episodes of the show, and this has now been rectified, and you'll be seeing video that looks a lot more like what you're seeing now. Please subscribe to the channel, click on the bell, so you can be the first to know when we have new episodes available. Thanks again, and enjoy the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show, and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast and YouTube channel, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark, and I'm with my co-host, Adam.
Hi, everyone. Adam here. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. We are super excited to bring you today's episode. And if you like the episode, don't forget to subscribe and to tell a friend. We'd really appreciate that.
So today, we're going to talk about the 8 things to look for when buying an expired domain. But before we get into the meat of that, what are the benefits of using an expired domain, Adam?
Yeah, thanks. So There's loads of benefits to using an expired domain. Put blankly, there's lots. there's some cons too. So I'd probably start by just covering off the pros and cons at a top level of using an expired domain versus using a fresh domain. But before I do that, I just want to explain what an expired domain is, or an auction domain, or there's many different terms for them. But essentially, they're the same thing. It's a domain that used to belong to a legitimate business or a legitimate website. Typically, those businesses or websites have been around for a number of years. That's one of the benefits of an expired domain, is it's got lots of history with Google. And then for whatever reason, maybe the business went bust, or the website owner decided they no longer wanted to work on the website, and they didn't renew the website with their domain registrar. Or, I mean, sometimes they even just literally forget to tick the box. I read recently that Google forgot to renew one of their domains and somebody bought it. They gave it back. But, I mean, it even happens to Google. And then typically any domain that doesn't get re-registered by the user and it has some kind of value, be that SEO value because it has lots of good backlinks, or be that branded value because it's a branded, a very brandable URL, typically domain registrars keep those back. They don't go back into general circulation, and usually they put up to auction, and that's essentially where you get expired domains from. So the pros of using an expired domain over a fresh domain, essentially, you kind of skip the sandbox period. Now, whether you agree that there is a sandbox period or not, typically working with a fresh domain, it does take some time to see results, whereas working with an expired domain, typically see results a lot quicker. So the website picks up traction much faster. The other good thing about using an expired domain is we are making use of all of that past history of the website, all of the past relevancy, all of the past domain authority, all of the past power that website used to have. So just because it expired, Google doesn't reset all that power. It doesn't reset all of those links. All of those links still point to the website. And we can make use of that. It's a nice way of not having to do much or very little link building in the short to medium term, because you're already starting on a super solid foundation of backlinks. There are some downsides to working with expired domains. The first one being you can't pick the brand name. Essentially, you have to work with what you've got. you have to adapt. So you can pick up brandable expired domains, but it can't be your own idea. Essentially, you have to pick what somebody else already had. The other downside to working with expired domains is typically they tend to be a lot more expensive than working with a fresh domain. You can pick up a fresh domain from Namecheap for, you know, $10. Whereas a good expired domain typically is going to, on the low end, going to cost you a couple of hundred. And on the high end, you know, it's going to cost you several thousand. We've recently seen, at least in the UK, there was the domain for the Help to Buy scheme, the government Help to Buy scheme, when the government let their domain expire. And I'm pretty sure that domain went for tens of thousands. And interestingly enough, if you look it up now, it's actually somebody's recreated a mortgage review website on there. So, you know, they're trying their luck there. But essentially, that's the benefits and the pros and cons of working with expired domains. And the main reason that we like to work with them is because we see results a lot quicker. And we're starting from a solid foundation of good authority, high authority, and a good link profile.
Yeah, and another benefit, of course, is that it's a really cheap way to buy links, essentially. So if you're getting a domain with, say, 300 referring domains, that's either going to take you a lot of time to acquire those backlinks to that many domains yourself, or it's going to cost you a lot of money if you're paying a service to do that. So even the niche website builder's Shotgun Skyscraper service, in which you can, you know, get links for a pretty good and average price, that's still going to cost you close to $20,000 to get 300 referring domains, whereas you could pick up maybe the domain itself for $2,000 or $3,000. So it actually works out as a really cost efficient way to buy a ready to go backlink profile. Of course, there's a number of tools that we use, right? When we're doing this analysis, one of them is called Wayback Machine. If you're not familiar with that, you can find it at archive.org, and that essentially allows us to take a look at the historical view of the website, how it's looked over time. So it's basically taken and saved down versions of the website, you know, every year of its life, essentially. So you can go back and look at what the website used to look like in the past. There's also Ahrefs and SEMrush we use, and we use that for specific domain metrics, checking out backlink profile, but we'll come to that shortly. We also use a tool called Website SEO Checker. I think that's websiteseochecker.com. We'll leave a link in the notes, but essentially that allows us to check things like trust flow, citation flow, which are Majestic's metrics, and Moz's metrics, domain authority and page authority, but without having a subscription for them. So there's a free version, which you can do a limited number of URLs and some other restrictions, or there's a paid version on that site too. And the last tool we use, or the last website that we use, is the Trademark Electronic Search System, or TESS, which is where we go and check for trademarks. But we'll also come to that shortly. So we'll start our list of the eight things to look out for when buying an expired or auction domain. And we'll start with history and the Wayback Machine.
Yeah. So the history of the domain is super important. And it's super important for a number of reasons. So Mark mentioned above that we use Wayback or archive.org as one of our tools. And what this tool does is it over the years that the website has been live, it takes snapshots of what the website looked like. And you can go in there and you can see how it looked, you know, back 10 years ago, for example. So the first thing you want to do is you want to pop the URL in there and you want to it'll come up with all of the different snapshots over the history of the site. And typically it takes several snapshots each year. And it's a very time-consuming process, but it's super important. You want to open up as many of those snapshots as you can, basically. And the first thing you want to look for is what did the website used to be? What was it? Was it a restaurant? Was it a camping website? Like, what was the website previously? Sometimes you can figure that out by the domain name, but sometimes you can't. So it's you get a feel for what the website used to be, and you start to think, is this relevant to a site that I want to build? Could I see myself building an affiliate website or a content website in this niche? If you can't, then it's probably best to move on, because we'll hit on it a little bit later. But relevancy when working with expired domains is really, really important. The website that you were going to create should really and ideally match up to what it used to be. So that's the first thing you want to check. The next thing you want to do is when you start going through Wayback, is keep an eye out for any gaps. So if there were snapshots for the first 3 years, then there was a gap for like a year and then more snapshots. Typically, not always, but typically that means that the website was taken offline for a year at some point there because there were no snapshots and then brought back online. You just want to make sure, you know, what happened there. Try and understand, did the website owner forget to renew the domain? Was it offline for 6 months, or, you know, did the domain expire? Somebody bought it and make a new website on there? So you want to look for that. And what you're looking for there are signs that the site was used for spam or as a PBN. Now, sometimes it's really obvious because people make quite obvious PBN sometimes. And you can see that this was, you know, used to be a website about camping. It then turned into a one-page website about car finance and linked to an auto website and then expired, and you want to stay away from that. But sometimes it can be really hard to spot because whoever bought it and turned it into a PBN essentially bought the URL, recreated the website exactly the way it used to look from way back, and then they just inserted their links within the existing content. So you have to have a really good look around Wayback, around all of the old content to try and spot these things, because they're really important. The other way you can check that, and Mark will touch on it as one of our points later, is to check the anchor text. So numerous times I've looked through Wayback and thought, this looks good. I can't see any evidence of being a PBN or being spammed. And then I check the anchor text and it's full of, you know, Viagra links or Viagra porn links or those kind of anchor texts. So it's always really important to check that. The other thing you want to check when you are looking through Wayback is, I mentioned earlier, is just relevance to the niche. So just make sure it's something you can work with. And yeah, I think that pretty much covers about the history of what you want to look for, Mark. I think, is there anything you want to add there or you think is important to check?
No, I think you pretty much covered everything there. Yeah, awesome. Sure. So yeah, so on to number two. Number two is the backlink profile. So it's very, very similar to the way that we check the history in Wayback Machine. There's very similar things that you want to be checking. So the first one being relevance. You know, are the backlinks relevant to the niche that we're going to be, you know, using the site for going forward? So for example, if we're planning on doing a pet content site, now, was it a paint content site in the past? We can look at Wayback Machine for that. But does it also have backlinks related to pets as well? So, you know, by looking at this again, that's another way that you can kind of look that maybe its history means it's changed, you know, over the years. But also there's some subtle differences as well that you want to kind of look at that, you know, when you're first doing this, you kind of don't always kind of maybe see. So things like, you know, some of the most common ones are, just because a site was was a restaurant previously, doesn't mean it's going to make a good food blog. Doesn't mean it's going to make a good blog to review kitchen products, because all of the backlinks in that backlink profile are going to be about the restaurant itself, about local backlinks, maybe some directory backlinks. You know, it's going to be much more related to being a restaurant, not being a kitchen, not being related to food. Another one that's quite common is you'll see a travel domain come up. So maybe it was a travel agent's in the past. Just because it was related to travel and it was a travel agent, so it was, we were predominantly talking about holidays, and therefore the backlink profile is going to be related to specific holiday or holiday packages. That doesn't mean it's going to be good for reviewing luggage and any other kind of holiday kind of based products. So yeah, there's some things to look out for in the backlink profile there. The other thing is, again, you know, are the backlinks quality? Just checking again, are there any spammy backlinks in there? Any Viagra porn, Chinese characters, any links from low quality PBNs that we don't want to, you know, that would indicate that it's got a poor backlink profile. And there is a metric you can use which kind of helps with this, which is called TrustFlow, which I kind of alluded to before. And it's the website SEO checker tool that you can go and check the TrustFlow score. But as a rule of thumb, we tend to not target domains that are below a TrustFlow of 10. Now, that's not set in stone. We definitely check other sites that are below 10. And what we find is that the less backlinks a domain has, the less accurate that TrustFlow score becomes. So if it's only got a handful of backlinks, then that TrustFlow score could be all over the place. It could be really low. It could be higher than you'd expect. But that's just because of the weighting for the limited number of referring domains. So if it's got a lot of referring domains, then generally that trust score is something that can be a little bit more relied upon. But you know, nothing beats a manual check. But just as an indication, as a starting point, you know, we don't go below 10, and certainly anything below 5 generally is starting to get a little bit ropey for sure. So that's kind of what we do for checking the backlink profile. That's most of the things there, I think. Anything I missed, Adam?
No, I think that's good. Just to reiterate about TrustFlow, you mentioned about being on the low end. The higher the TrustFlow, the better. Essentially, it's not a silver bullet indicator, but it's definitely important to check. And the higher the TrustFlow, usually the better the domain as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's almost more trustworthy the higher it goes up as well. So if you've got a TrustFlow of 30, it's very hard for that for you to look at that manually and see not some good links in there. Yeah. Generally, if it's up at that high, you're going to the backlink profile and you'll see some good links in there when it's up at that. And so, yeah, it's almost the top end's kind of more trustworthy than the bottom end in a way, in terms of trusting the number. Okay, so on to number three, the domain rating and domain authority.
Yeah, so thanks, Mark. So when we talk about domain rating, DR, or domain authority, DA, essentially, what we're talking about here are third-party metrics. So domain rating is from Ahrefs and domain authority is from Moz. But what they are essentially are literally just third-party metrics. So we have to take them with a pinch of salt. They are trying to understand the power or authority of a domain based on various factors, such as link profile and stuff. But essentially, they can be gained, they can be changed. I don't know how many times I've seen in Facebook groups over the last couple of months, people offering to increase your DR rating to a 50, you know, within 20 days. And just, I don't know how they do it, but it's definitely not natural. And it doesn't help you, because when you check out those sites in Ahrefs, you can see, all right, it's shown as a DR 50, but it's got like 20 referring domains and none of them are any good. So, I mean, it's just a vanity metric at that point. So when we look at these kind of metrics for expired domains, it's important that you take them, you look at them from a holistic approach. You look at them all together rather than as individuals. And when we look at domains, expired domains, we look at six different metrics. So we look at two metrics from Ahrefs, two from Majestic, and two from Moz. And then we give those a weighted average, essentially, to give us an overall view, of an overall idea of how strong that domain is. We don't take each of them individually. And what you can do with that then, once you've got an idea of how strong the domain is, you can start to plan out, you know, who your competitors are, who you're competing against within that niche in terms of who's in the same kind of authority or strength range. And that really plays into your, or should play into your keyword research. So when we do our keyword research, all of the plans start with competitor analysis, pulling out these six different metrics and comparing them to the domain that we're working with. Typically, we'll put them in a list, and the domain that we're looking at or working with will fall somewhere in that list. You know, if it's in the middle somewhere, that's good because you've got plenty of competitors below you to look at. And also, it gives you an idea of how big the niche is, how expansive it is, because if you're in the middle of the pack, you've still got all of the competitors above you to go to look at once you start building links and moving yourself up that list. So that's what we mean when we talk about domain authority or domain rating. And when you look at it for when you're thinking about buying an expired domain or you're looking at expired domains, just remember it's one metric, or it's an individual metric from a third party. We have no proper insight into how it's gained, how it's calculated. So take them with a pinch of salt. But it's good to look at them all combined as a like an overall picture of the domain itself.
Excellent. Awesome. So yeah, that's great. So on to number four. Number four is anchor text. So when looking at the anchor text, it's kind of very similar to some of the things we mentioned before. Again, we're trying to find or look for anchor text, or sorry, rather avoid anchor text that looks spammy. So any of the Viagra, the porn, the foreign characters, all of that kind of things we're trying to avoid. But I guess the most important thing is that we're looking for the anchor text to be branded. So by that, what we mean is that it's got the name of the site in the anchor, or a naked URL, which is the site itself. So, you know, brandname.com, for example. And, you know, any kind of legitimate site on the planet that gets their links organically and naturally, you know, the most common anchors will be the brand name itself. So we want to kind of make sure that any domain we pick up looks natural and therefore has the same kind of branded anchor text as being the most common type of anchor text for any domain. So there can be some exceptions for that. You know, if there's specific sites or specific pages on the site, should I say, that went viral, then they may end up having more links, and that's kind of okay and kind of normal too. But if you have too many pages in there, it kind of starts to look unnatural. So there's things you can do to avoid that. You know, if you've got the spammy anchor text in there, you can start disavowing those links. And if you want to boost the number of branded anchor text that you've got as part of your domain, you could purchase some pillow links as well. So that might be in the form of citations. There's plenty of services out there that you can buy citation links from, which will give you the branded anchor or the naked URL kind of anchor that you're looking for to kind of make the backlink profile look more natural if it hasn't been that natural in the past. So I think it's a potential flag, an orange flag to watch out for. And if it does look unnatural, then that might mean there's other underlying problems. But if there aren't other underlying problems, and this is kind of the only thing, then it's possible that you could look to kind of resurrect that domain in kind of terms of this sort of anchor profile. Cool. So that's number four. On to number five, Adam. So we're looking at indexed pages.
Yeah. So what we mean by indexed pages is when you go into Ahrefs and you pop the URL into the search bar, down the left-hand side, you want to click on top pages by links. That would bring up a page of reports which shows all of the URLs on the website, all of the old URLs, which all have referring domains and backlinks to them. So if you order that from highest to lowest of referring domains, almost always, and what we want to look for, is the majority of the referring domains go into the homepage. It's natural when you think about any website, you think most of the links will go to the homepage. If they go into individual pages, it's an indication that not spammy, but aggressive link building was done to individual pages. And if those pages are above the homepage, unless, like Mark mentioned, you know, maybe one or two pages have gone viral in the past, it's a good indication that somebody's done aggressive link building. And in the eyes of Google, it doesn't look quite natural because the majority of websites, most of their referring domains are to the homepage. So one thing that we always look for is is the site which has most of the URLs to the homepage. But inevitably, there are always going to be URLs in there which have referring domains. And you need to come up with a plan, and you need to have an idea on how you're going to handle those. And what I mean by that is those pages still have value, and they still have value because they still have referring domains and links to them. So you don't want to just leave them go. The 404 shows up as an error in Search Console. The old website owner could do a broken link search and report and see that they link into a 404 page and remove the link, and ultimately you end up losing links and you end up losing power. So our process is essentially any of the pages that have at least two referring domains, you've got a couple of options. You either can go to Wayback, pop the URL in there, and have a look at the content, and take that content as is, copy and paste it in, and recreate that page on your website. You can, if depending on the URL structure, you can create the new page with the exact same URL structure as the old page, or more commonly, it's a URL structure that you can't really replicate. So you'll have to set up a 301 redirect from old URL to the new one. Doing that though carries some kind of risk. I mean, it's really small, but essentially you are taking someone else's content as is, even though the website no longer exists. I mean, it existed at some point and someone created that and you didn't. So you're essentially taking their content. To minimize the risk of any issues, like any future issues for that, we usually remove all internal links to that. And what I mean is, like, by that is the navigational links. You can't get to those pages through the menu or any way on the website. The only way you can navigate there is if you know the actual URL. So it just stops if, you know, one day the old owner decided to check what was going on with their old URL and they go there and they see a site is live. It's pretty hard for them to, it would be pretty difficult or pretty unlikely that they would do a, you know, forward slash and go to the old URL just out of curiosity. They just go to the homepage, have a little look around, and if they don't see the content, then that's fine. If you don't want that risk, even though it's quite small, you could rewrite that content, and then you could upload that content and again do the redirect from the old page there. That works just as well. Or you've just got the added either time that you need to write the content or the cost if you're getting someone else to write that. Or the third option is, if you don't want to do either of those, is to redirect that URL either to the homepage if you can't find anything relevant, or ideally to a relevant blog post that you've created, or at least a relevant category page that you've created. And the reason that we want to do that, and that's important, is the power from those links pass through to that old URL, and we want to do something with it. So best case scenario, we can pass it directly through to a blog post that we're trying to rank, and we can pass that juice there. Second best scenario is we pass it through to a relevant category page, which powers up all of the blog posts within that category. And if you can't find anything that matches those two, then pass it back to the homepage. And depending on how you've structured the website, that link juice then should flow from the homepage back through to all of the category pages and back down to the blog post. So you kind of spread in the juice there a little bit. Our rule of thumb here at Niche Website Builders is if the old URL has more than two referring domains, then we try and recreate the content if we can. And if we can't, then we try and match it back to a category page or a blog post. And if it has less than two referring domains, then it's fine just for us to redirect it back to the homepage. I mean, you come down to the effort to reward there. Anything with two referring domains or less than two, it's not really worth the effort of going through them individually, especially if sometimes there's hundreds of them. So it's fine to just put those back to the homepage then. So that's the way that we handle index pages or pages by links. The other thing you want to check is, depending on how long ago the domain expired, is it still indexed in Google? Can you go to Google and can you use the site operator? So it's site colon and the URL in Google. And are there any pages still indexed? If there are, that's a great sign. It means still there. Google still has a memory of it. typically it means there's no penalty on there because it's still indexed and Google hasn't de-indexed it. But depending on, you know, some domains expire, you know, 3 years ago and only now they've come up for auction. And in that case, there's been no site on there for a number of years. So it's very unlikely that it'll still be indexed by Google. It doesn't necessarily mean that it had a penalty or there's anything wrong with it. It just means it hasn't been live for a long time. The only way to really check if a URL has been penalized is to essentially buy it and hook it up to Search Console and check in there. But I mean, if you've done all of the other steps that we've mentioned above about checking out for, you know, was it used as a PBN? Does it have any spammy anchor text and stuff? I mean, the chances of finding a domain that's been penalized and de-indexed is relatively low as long as you've done those checks fairly well. So yeah, that covers index pages, I think. Anything to add there, Mark?
No, I think you pretty much covered it all there. Yeah, so number six is historical traffic. So the reason that we look out for historical traffic is because, you know, if the site was getting traffic in the past, that is a good sign, because in the eyes of Google, that site must have been good enough to give ranking and therefore have traffic. It doesn't necessarily mean that any sites in the past that didn't have much traffic is bad necessarily, because maybe it was a restaurant site that only got so much kind of local traffic, you know, every month, and therefore it's fine in that instance. But if a site did have traffic, that's just another tick in the box for that domain, because it's just clearly showing that a domain, you know, it was liked by Google in the past, and therefore it has got some credibility in the eyes of Google. And therefore, you know, we found that it just increases the chances of that domain working out going forward. Anything to add there, Adam?
So just one other thing to add there, Mark, about historic traffic. Sometimes websites are taken offline and the domain expires relatively quickly. It happens around the same time. And if you check that domain in Ahrefs or something, you can see that it's still got hundreds or sometimes even thousands of keywords still indexed, and it's still getting traffic from Google because Google hasn't quite figured out that the site is no longer there. I mean, it's seen that they're 404s, but 404s are just, it hasn't dropped them from the index yet. So sometimes, if you're lucky, you can find a good domain that meets all of the criteria that we've mentioned above and is still getting traffic. And all you have to do is bring the site back online, recreate those old pages, and bring traffic back. And I did just that recently, where I bought a domain that had just literally expired. Recreated all of the old content from way back, put ads on there, and it's now generating, you know, hundreds to $150 a month. And I've literally done nothing apart from just recreate it, buy it, and recreate it, and put ads on there. So there's opportunities there as well. If you can see that the domain is still getting traffic, you can capitalize on that and get that traffic really quick and not have to do much to start earning revenue there.
Yeah, sure. And I guess the other thing as well is that some domains you pick up are already getting referral traffic from the links that they've got on other sites. So quite often you can, you know, claim that referral traffic straight away. So that's another way that you can kind of, yeah, it's got traffic that's baked in that maybe was likely to be relevant too, because you've done the due diligence and made sure that the niche was relevant to what you're planning to build for the future. So yeah, cool. Yeah. Makes sense. So, number seven is trademarks. Important one.
Yeah. So trademarks are a bit tricky. And I'll start by saying we are not trademark experts. We're not trademark lawyers by any stretch of the imagination. Buyer beware, do your own due diligence. If you're worried about anything, get yourself a trademark lawyer or solicitor to look over, you know, what you're buying. But essentially, there's a US database, and predominantly, I'm assuming most people are building websites for a US audience. You can go and you can check if there are any live trademarks. It's the US trademark database, and you go in there, and essentially you search for either the URL or the brand name or whatever you think is trademarked based on the old website. So the thing to be careful of is, say, for example, you bought a domain, Zeus Clothing. You go there and you put in Zeus Clothing and it comes up no trademarks. You think, oh, that's great. But if you just put in the word Zeus, you might see that Zeus has been trademarked there. And it's been trademarked for the use of clothing. So that's really important to check. There's loads of trademarks and there's loads of live trademarks, but typically I think the way trademarks work, they're limited to one aspect or they're limited to a number of aspects. So for example, the word Zeus may be trademarked for t-shirts, but it may not be trademarked for shoes. So if you're buying Zeusclothing.com and you go on there and you see there's a live trademark for Zeus and it's only applies to t-shirts, you definitely want to stay away from creating a website around t-shirts. But there shouldn't be any problem with you going and creating an affiliate website all about shoes, for example, there. But again, I just want to caveat that and say, please do your own due diligence. Please get your own kind of advice from a specialist. Just before, I don't want us to get into any trouble just because you follow what we've said here. But yeah, I mean, there's not much else to cover about trademarks, I don't think, Mark. There's kind of is what it is. Either it's got a trademark or it doesn't. And just do your due diligence about what's covered.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to quickly see if a site doesn't have a trademark. But if it does have a trademark, then that's probably the time to seek some legal advice before you go ahead and purchase it. But I think the other thing is it can be a little bit tricky to make sure that you do the right keyword search for finding a trademark. So for example, with your example of Zeus Clothing, if you search for Zeus Clothing, you might get no hits, but if you search for Zeus, you might actually find that brand, with a clothing trademark of some sort that you might want to take a look at before you go ahead and purchase it. So you just need to be a bit smart about how you're doing the searches or, just get some legal advice from the outset maybe. Cool. So, on to number 8, which is the last in the list, which is about claiming social media sites. So do you want to talk about that, Adam?
Yeah. So this is a nice tactic. I don't really see many people talking about this one. And basically, when you look at a website in Wayback, put the domain in Wayback, you want to look out for any social media profiles that website had. And in particular, you want to look for Pinterest and Twitter because they are the easiest to recover from this method. You can recover the others as well, but it's more difficult. But essentially, what you want to do is you want to go to your host. Once you've got the domain, go into your hosting and set up what's called a catch-all email address. And basically, that means it does what it says on the tip. It catches all of the emails that are sent to that to that URL. So it could be hello@admin@, any kind of email address that's connected to that domain or gets filtered into your catch-all. And then you know what the username is for these social media accounts because you go onto Wayback and you click the link and you can see what the username is. And then you go to Pinterest and you say you've forgotten your passwords, you put in your username, and then you cross your fingers and hope that when they signed up for the account, they signed up using an email address connected to the domain, and you get an email to your catch-all email address with a reset password link. And if that happens, then you've got control of the social media accounts as well. So this is a great way of trying to capture accounts, add an extra value when you're looking at these domains. I mean, I've seen some Pinterest accounts with tens to or hundreds of thousands of followers on there, which are just dormant now. They were connected to a website, and if you can grab those with it. It'll really help in the long term, both in terms of asset value, but also diversifying traffic away from Google if you feel like you need to in the future. So that's point 8 for us, basically.
Excellent. Thanks for that. So, yeah, I think that's about it. So I think it's probably worth mentioning that, Niche Website Builders, at Niche Website Builders, we have a domain sourcing service that currently isn't public, but we kind of are currently helping clients source expired domains. But we're looking for good domains all the time. If you're interested in expired domains and would like us to source a domain for you, or would like to see domains that we found that come up that we find that we think would make good sites, then feel free to sign up to our expired domain waitlist at nichewebsite.builders/expired. We'll put the link in the notes as well. And if you just go ahead and fill out that form, then you'll be the first to know anytime we find a new domain. And feel free to get in contact if you want to look, us to look for something specific for you. So I think that's a wrap. If you're watching on YouTube, then don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Click on the bell so you can get notified every time we publish new content. Leave a comment on there and we'll happily get back to you if you've got any recommendations or questions on the show. And if you're listening to the podcast version, then don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Rate and review. It's all going to help us get more visibility in iTunes. And that means that we'll get, you know, hopefully a greater audience, which will mean greater possibilities for us to record more episodes going forward. So, last of all, if you know anybody who'd be interested in the show, then please feel free to forward it on to them and tell a friend. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.